we are having a huge Labor Day blowout sale for t-shirts at mindpumpmedia.com. Just go to the store section. All t-shirts are $9.99 each. That's a substantial discount for all shirts. However, sizes are limited. And once the sizes are gone, they are gone. So get over there and get them now. Again, mindpumpmedia.com, the store section. The sale ends September 4th. That's Labor Day at 5 p.m. Pacific.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump.
Oh, we got the boys here.
This episode.
You know, when we first started Mind Pump, we didn't get any sponsors for a couple different reasons. Number one, it's usually supplement companies that
we're
sponsor.
We're inflammatory.
In fitness, and we're very raw, we're very brutal, we have a lot of integrity, which turns off most companies because...
Especially supplement companies. Which is what our most podcasts are... sponsored by.
That's right. That's right.
Or that's fitness what pays, people.
Fitness people.
Are,
most fitness people are sponsored or connected by.
We turned a lot of people away because of that. But one company that believed in us and approached us originally was Chimera. And we liked their product, but we weren't sold on them until we talked to a couple of the founders, Frankie and Theo. Great guys.
Genuinely great guys.
Well, great guys.
I consider them family because of that. I think
we're very loyal to them because of that.
They 100% went out on a limb, I think, when they first got connected with us. I mean, we were sponsored by them well before anybody else came along that was, first of all, legitimate. I mean, we had a lot of like bullshit stuff come our way when we first started, when you were small time. And these guys were here well before that. And so there is definitely a connection that we will forever have to them for doing that. And Sal said it, you know, they are incredible at spotting talent, and not because they found us, but because of all the other great...
Oh, Juju Mufu is one of them. I mean, yeah, when
Chris
they found
Jerry that we just, yeah, mm-hmm. So I mean, they've got.
Getting into drone racing. I mean, they're making moves.
We call them the Red Bull of coffee, right? So they've got the Red Bull approach as far as they look for outliers. And that's what I loved about them was they did not want us to be censored. They were not trying to change our
message. They didn't give us a script or nothing.
Nothing. They didn't change our message whatsoever. They just said, we like what you guys are doing. We believe that there's a huge need for what you're doing. We believe that you guys are going to be huge one day.
And they're like, just do your thing.
Do your thing. We want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and so we really like the guys. But this episode's great. Great conversation. There's some funny stories that are told. So you get to know the founders of Chimera and why we like them so much. They also talk about a couple of their new products coming out. They have extra virgin coconut oil in these individual single-serve packets, which I think is brilliant.
Oh, it makes it super convenient to just put that one serving size into your coffee.
That's right. And then they're also coming out with a whole bean pea berry coffee, which is supposed to be incredible tasting, which you can find the pea berry coffee at chimeracoffee.com. That's KimeraKoffee.com. It's limited edition, by the way, so get on there because it'll run out. They tend to sell out on things like this really fast. They've got a really excited fan base. Enter the code MINDPUMP for 10% off. Also, this month, enroll in any MAPS program or MAPS bundle and get MAPS Prime for free. MAPS Prime is the program that teaches you how to prime your body before your workouts. One of our more popular programs. So we're giving it away for free if you enroll in any other MAPS program or MAPS bundle. However,
super bundle.
If you do the super bundle, which is 1 year's worth of exercise programming, which already includes Prime, we're going to give you Prime Pro for free.
Yeah, you're going to get the Pro model.
So you'll basically have everything. It's a massive promotion. It's an exciting one for us. We've gotten a lot of fantastic feedback on all of our programs, but especially MAPS Prime and Prime Pro. Those two, I could say, by far, have given us the most positive feedback. So you can find out about those programs or enroll in those programs at mindpumpmedia.com. So without any further ado, here we are talking to Frankie and Theo from Chimera Coffee. So Frankie, be honest with me now.
Yeah.
Let's say your music career just fucking blew up.
Are you sure it's Primo Producers?
Let's pretend it didn't tank. Yeah, would Chimera exist?
We actually broke up. We didn't tank.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Who slept with whose girlfriend?
Just want to correct you right there.
creative differences?
I need to. Yeah.
Look for it. Mm.
So. Who is the Justin Timberlake of the group?
Did we start already?
No, yeah, sure.
Don't worry about it.
We're rolling. We're rolling. Yeah,
we'll figure stuff out.
Rolling hard.
Did you guys make any money?
Yeah, we probably made
negative.
Like $200.
Like negative
$200. I sold a bunch of CDs from the back of my car.
They were 100 airs.
To friends and family.
Yeah.
They were 100 airs. You guys got to buy dinner at Chili's.
Yeah.
Applebee's.
Dang, dude.
Just groupies for days.
Because I was looking at you at dinner. I'm like, he's good looking. He should be doing something in music or something, you know. But you did.
He actually performed at my wedding.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Yeah, I got it. Wow. That's what.
If I ever get married, I'm making you come do mine now.
Did you have like dance moves and like hand things and all that to like go with it?
Dude. Okay.
This guy practices dance moves in front of the mirror and all that shit.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, yeah, I do.
Wait till you see it.
You're committed.
I love it. I love it.
Committed.
I love it.
There it is.
It sounds good.
Let's put it on. Put it near the mic.
Hold on. The fuck? I'm going to give it to you on the TV, dick. Look up there.
That
was unnecessary.
I just do not know what to expect right now at all.
I know.
There's cockfighting. There's cockfighting in the video.
There's a lot of bestiality.
Bestiality.
And we're going to get flagged.
Is there any fucking of Carrot Top in the video?
No. Thank you.
So
great reference.
That's our other partner, Numbers. Not the dark, yeah.
Great mustache.
Yeah, you like that?
It
took me a month to grow.
Costumes are good.
Let's stop for a minute and hit rewind like Michael J. Fox go back in time. Woohoo!
This is great, man. That's you know what you guys remind me of? LMFAO.
The Dominican version.
Yeah.
Just a lot younger. Awesome.
It's like
better looking.
How many years ago is this?
It's like if Menudo and LMFAO had
that was like 4 years ago.
Oh, this is only 4 years ago. It's not that long ago.
Yeah.
That's a good beat, dude. The Italian in me likes it. I want to fist pump to it a little bit.
How have we not put this on the forum yet?
I don't know.
This 100% is going on our forum.
He's embarrassed of it now.
I am 100% not embarrassed.
Bro, he was singing earlier to us.
Dude, this is fucking awesome.
This is
now,
great.
Be honest, he sounds like an angel, dude. Frankie, be honest here. I want to know something right here. When you were doing this, like, did you guys have goals of like continuing to pursue this?
I did.
Obviously, you put some work in this because it's fucking good.
Yeah, dude. I was you see that script? That's where like all my ideas for the videos now come from.
You were the creative artist.
Yeah, I'm really creative with this type of shit, but you see that spinneroonie? I worked on it for like 6 months.
Spinneroonie.
You made it its way up to the head spin.
That's great, dude.
This is awesome.
Is that Mario?
check out my other part right here.
What is it?
I don't know what I'm leaving, but I won't be back. No. Swag hot as cold.
That's just trust me, bro.
Get the drinks down.
Pesos.
Fist the cups. All the ladies come play with us.
You know what, dude?
We're gonna make this shit go viral, dude.
Yeah.
What we should have done is we should have played this and actually made Frankie sing in the mic to this so the audience could listen to it while we do it.
Yeah, I can barely remember these lyrics.
Oh, really?
I mean,
there was a lot of
drugs.
If I look at it,
then I can.
It's like singing rap.
Yeah. look, he sounds like a song angel.
Young lady.
Who's the Rick James guy?
Who's doing
the used to work in my. He was my dad's gardener.
How much did this cost to produce this?
Nothing. It was actually our friend owns a nightclub.
Wow.
And those are all my buddies. And he just did us a solid favor.
So that $200 was
actually,
all
profit. The video. The video editing friend of ours, you know, we gave him like $100.
You gave him
two CDs.
Wow. You gave him some free cologne.
Yeah.
You guys doubled your money the first time. That's pretty awesome. You could tell people that.
Dude, we're so gonna post this on the
channel. This is one of the main highways.
Cockfighting.
In the Dominican. Check it out.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh wow. This is a great video, dude.
The after part.
Good job.
Right there.
You gotta turn it off.
He wasn't acting there, was he? Because he looked like he was really drinking.
So. Yeah, he was just passed out. He got super excited. He didn't actually know he was in a dance video. So
he just thought he was partying.
He thought he was partying.
He's fucking partying.
So
great.
So what was the name of the group? It was
Primo.
So that's the name of the group.
Yeah, Primo.
Wow. So how many songs do you guys do in the album?
15.
Wow.
So if you go to SoundCloud, you go Primo Producers. you'll find all our songs there. Wow.
I'm but you don't, man. I'm you don't get paid on any of this?
I'm a little embarrassed about
it. Oh my
this
God,
one.
More?
Is that, yeah. That's numbers?
Yeah, that's numbers. Yeah. That's our CFO.
Right here?
So yeah, he's dude, he's really talented, and he just, this is a part of himself that he doesn't like exposing.
He's a professional. Probably shouldn't have put it on YouTube then, but.
He's got a nice voice.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
That's nice, man. Good deal.
That's hilarious, man. Yeah. So how, now how far do you guys go back? You and numbers.
Middle school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you guys, how far do you guys go back?
We were in the same school. But we,
all you guys.
Yeah, when we moved back, I'm 3 years older than Frank. So when I moved off from Boston in 2003, Frank moved back from Miami. And we're all like, I mean, we got together to watch fights, and that's when we started hanging out.
Wow. So you guys go, I mean, that's, I remember telling us this when we first, you know, talked to you guys about, you know, working together or whatever. And that's one of the things we liked the most about you guys, because you guys were genuine.
Boys first.
Yeah. Sure. You guys were genuinely, you know, genuine friends. And that resonated very strongly with us. Yeah.
I mean, you can't just go into business with anybody.
People do that all the time, dude.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And yeah. Frank and I, we did all types of business. We first started doing dehydrated fruit.
Yeah, let's not talk
about that. Wait, hold on a second.
We got to talk about this, man.
Hold on.
He's
so
embarrassed.
So you guys started a business on dehydrated fruits?
Yeah, we're like, we got to start something together. And we started.
And dehydrated fruits is where you started?
No. What is
flavored apple.
Horrible idea.
What is it that made you guys think that, like, with the entrepreneur mind in both of you that said, like, we got to do something together? Obviously, you're friends when you grew up. I got lots of friends that I still talk to since middle school, but I didn't go do business with all of them. What was it about your guys' characteristics that you both were like, okay, we got to do business together?
I think I always wanted to, like, prove to people that, like, we can do something in Dominican Republic with Dominican Republic products.
On an international platform.
On an international platform,
oh, I see.
Yeah.
Is there not a lot of companies doing this?
No.
Not at all.
So,
really?
Like, so you guys...
Mostly we export raw material.
So you,
like,
guys,
big companies.
You guys recognized...
For example... I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
For example, like cacao, for, okay, like chocolate. We have really big companies that export that and sell the raw products to, like, Hershey's or Godiva.
So you guys thought to yourselves, you're good friends, all of you have, like, what, roots from Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
And you guys were you proud of your, I guess, your roots, and like, okay, we need to do something with these materials that are coming out of this country.
Or just really smart fucking businessmen, and you saw the opportunity.
Well, I mean, all of that, right?
Yeah. I always thought that the country had so much stuff to offer, and I wanted to show the world, like, we're not just a tourist place. We have all this amazing product. And it'll hopefully, like, motivate people to, like, do other stuff. Like, they'll find, I don't know, something, like a t-shirt that's produced in DR, and they're like, I want to do these t-shirts. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Wow. So,
I mean, we're also, like, privy to all these crops. I mean, they're in our backyard, so, you know.
Now, did you guys travel a lot when you were kids to the Dominican Republic? And
well, I was born there.
We were born and raised there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually went to an American school over there. Like, all our teachers,
yeah, because,
like,
you guys speak
Canadians and Americans.
Okay,
yeah. So that's, I mean,
okay,
I had one Spanish class, and it was
optional.
Spanish.
Wow. Spanish class was optional.
So talk about your first businesses that you guys started to get. Talk about your failed businesses before we get into the successful one here.
Those, yeah. Well, it was called manzanitas, which is like apples and small apples in Spanish, and it was just like dehydrated apples with, like, cinnamon flavor and chocolate flavor. And
the company that we actually started is the company that now sells Chimera Coffee to our American company.
Because it that company,
so it's still, you know,
was
still alive.
It's like a throwback.
We used to bring DJs. So
it's the most massive pivot I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's called Dry Apple Industries.
We used to bring DJs over. We had a fight league there. We put three big events, like, with 4,000 people.
What?
Yeah, it was on TV.
I fucking love you guys.
The thing is that I had a beach bar, and I had, like, access to all these promoters, all these DJs, and I, you know, as my the beach bar, I like hosted events, like big EDM events. I mean, my venue had, like, Tiesto, Swedish House Mafia, like all the big DJs, and you know, I had the know-how on throwing events, so. You know, we also always like mixed martial arts and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do, like, some events. I mean, wow. I got the know-how. I got the contacts.
How old were you when you first started your first business? Because you guys are young. You're not old guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you must have started. You guys were kids.
26, yeah.
Where did that come from? Like, where'd you get the balls to do something like that at that age?
I didn't want to be an employee. I had worked in Boston as an employee, and it just, like, they work you to the ground. I mean, I love it, because that's where I get all my, like, my base and the foundations and work ethic. But I didn't want to, like, retire when I'm 65 and then, like, have a 401k with, oh, now I have $1 million when I'm 65 and my body's, like, I can't use it, basically.
Mm-hmm. And you guys all had this kind of attitude. Were your parents entrepreneurs?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Real estate, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you guys had some good examples.
Yeah.
Now, what inspired Chimera? Because you guys did the fruit company or the dry fruit. That didn't work. Was there anything else after that? Or was...
The Fight League.
The Fight League.
Now, was there any success in that? Or was it just...
The last event.
Well, break that down. How'd that work? Like, what exactly were you doing?
We were, like, hosting a MMA fight. Like a card, a fight card,
mm-hmm.
in the Coliseum.
On every bit of it. Then, so you guys would rent the Coliseum.
Yeah, actually Theo.
Explain how that works. Not a lot of people understand how that's a real legit. I had buddies that were like club promoters, did stuff which is kind of similar. Yeah. Like, explain that process, what that's like.
So we loved mixed martial arts. So basically, I was the matchmaker. Frank put together the event. He had all his knowledge from like the EDM parties and everything. So he handled everything.
Yeah,
prior
the logistics
to the
from
fight.
Like sound, lighting.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, tickets. You knew all the tickets. You had all these connections.
Yeah.
So what? Now, where does that come from? Were you really popular? Were in your area? Did you have lots of friends?
It's a small community.
Okay.
It's a small community. Like, so, you know, we travel in the same circles with the most of the people that were buying our tickets. Plus, like when I used to, you know, host the events in my beach bar, you know, I had all these contacts. A lot of people knew me from these events, you know, from the beach bar. Like, it was a really popular beach bar that was like 30 minutes away from the city. So like it was a big deal. So, you know, like I had a lot of contacts. So
this is freaking awesome. I can't believe we didn't know this about you guys.
Yeah.
So so now walk us to how you guys started Chimera. Where did that come from and who had the idea to do it, and what was that like?
Well, I was actually listening to a podcast in a car it was a Joe Rogan podcast. He had a coffee expert, and during that time, the Dominican Republic had closed a deal with Godiva and Nestle for supplying their cacao. While I was listening to this podcast, I was thinking, man, Dominican coffee, like, nobody knows about Dominican coffee. They go to the store and it's like Colombian coffee.
And we have similar, like, our mountain ranges are similar to like Jamaica, you know, like our weather. So, you know, the Jamaican blue coffee is like one of the best coffees in the world.
Now, what makes it so good? You said about the mountain ranges. What are the characteristics of, you know, what kind of landscapes and stuff contribute to good
just
coffee,
like
or why?
The soil and climate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like it's high altitude.
So it's like perfect.
It's like a perfect soil, perfect climate. You know, it's high, like
we get the breeze,
high altitude.
And stuff.
We get breeze. You know, we get the cool weather, the nice soil, and we also get the sun and then shade.
And what kind of beans are these? Are these Arabica?
Yeah.
Arabica Caturra.
One interesting note is that we didn't know until we started getting into this world that the coffee beans, they need to be shaded by other plants. Sometimes they use avocado plants or any other native plant. So the farmer or plant... this large plant there to shade it to give for that season it'll have a different flavor than the next season depending. Oh. So he'll be testing it out
depending on what he's growing next to it.
Yeah,
right. So what's typical? So avocado is something.
Avocados. We have
the plantains as well.
Yeah, the plantains. So most of the time it's probably like the farmer needs to grow avocado and he'll like put it there.
What about artificially shading it? Would anyone think to artificially shade it? Is that something you would do? Is it?
I think it would be. The farms are so big; it would be too much money to invest. Oh, okay. It makes more sense to grow something else to do that.
So you said you were listening to a podcast, and then what happened next?
I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about coffee, and they were also talking about all these. You guys also that you talk about doing something for yourself, not being in those 9-to-5, and I have another real estate development company, and I was like frustrated with payments and everything. So
nine,
I call
having
Frank.
A 9-to-5.
Yeah, and having a 9-to-5. So I call Frank. I'm like, Frank, I have another idea. This is like yeah. our conversation.
That's how our conversation yeah. goes.
And Frank probably yeah. was like, this guy.
Yeah, he came at me with the whole coffee idea, and I'm like, dude, another gourmet coffee. I don't.
Yeah.
And we were actually taking like brain vitamins and coffee, and it was like I found myself being really productive on both things, but then you know separately not as productive. So it was kind of like, wait, this is fucking. You know,
this is an idea.
There's got to be something to this. You know, it's like synergistic.
So before you guys started
like
Chimera, you were
and coffee.
Yeah, you were already supplementing. You were taking nootropics, drinking coffee. You noticed together.
I was like really concentrated at work, and you know, I substituted it for my pre-workouts, and you know, I really liked the effect on it.
Wow. So
and then we started talking. He did. Theo's was taking the same thing. You know, stacking the same things, and you know, we got to rapping and. You know, the idea was just like from a conversation that we had, we were like, yes,
that's great.
This is it. Yeah. Let's now, fucking try it.
How hard? Yeah. I imagine it must have been a long process to figure out how to throw something in there and not make it taste like shit.
Yeah. 52 prototypes.
That was all during that time. I was finishing up a building, so I was super busy. So Frank took the lead. Like, I'm like, we should do coffee. Let's add nootropics. Like, we decided on that. So during that, probably it was like a year and a half where it was just like Frank experimenting on stuff. And
I bought a scientist robe and some glasses and a little peachy dish.
The essentials. Yeah.
And I was just basically like opening up the Facebook accounts, like doing all that like behind the scenes stuff. And Frank was like getting all this. And I'm like, okay, Frank, we need this for the FDA. Go take care of it. And he's like, okay, let me do this. Let me come up with this formula.
We reached out to a lab in Virginia to get a little help because a lot of you know the mixes were coming out really really bitter, really acidy. Coffee tasted like shit. And then you know when there were a lot of little intricate details, like you know if it's a food product, you have to have generally recognized as safe food additives. You can't just throw in any nootropics.
It's a bitch. My sister is going through this right now. They're trying to start. My brother-in-law is a hardcore downhill mountain bike guy, and he's creating basically like a healthy, whole, natural Gatorade, you know, and the hoops that they have to jump through because that it falls in that category. They wanted to do it as a supplement. They thought they could do that.
You
can't. Mm-hmm. So it's a bitch, man.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that go into it. And, you know, our list started like at 15 different nootropics. And then, you know, when it was a food additive, it, you know, lowered it like maybe like 7.
Plus the cost of it.
Yeah.
How long was this process of 52 prototypes and all that stuff?
About a year.
A year?
Yeah, a year and something. Wow. And
a lot of money? Did it cost a lot of money to do that?
Not too much. Okay. Not too much. I mean, nootropics aren't that expensive if you buy them in bulk. Probably like a couple of $100.
So a year of this, just doing this. Now you hit the right, like, okay, this tastes good. I like the effects. Yep.
How'd you know when you got it? Did you both go, oh, this is it? Or was it
we had a blind tasting.
Yeah.
Oh.
With
friends.
Yeah, with about 12 friends.
Yeah.
And they got crazy. they noticed it.
Everybody
they noticed
around.
It. Because, you know, we didn't want to be biased or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's have some people try.
Was it that obvious? Was it like, oh shit, no way. Yeah. We're like almost all of them were like, oh, this is the
They definitely felt it.
The thing that I've noticed about Chimera and that I get messages the most on is for people who typically have issues drinking coffee. And what I mean by that is like if I drink, so I'm sensitive to caffeine, and if I drink coffee too much and have too much caffeine, I get edgy or I'll crash. So I'll get this energy spike and then I'll drop and crash really hard. Mm. And that's Chimera is the only coffee I've ever had where I can drink it pretty regularly. Otherwise, I have to really stop after a few days of drinking coffee. But Chimera, I can do it more regularly, and it's attributed to the, I guess, the nootropics.
Yeah.
It's got a,
the L-theanine.
Who's most responsible for finding the talent? Like, who's the one who grabs Chris and Juju and search? Like, who's?
Yeah, because that's another. I want to talk about that too, because you guys are. I think you guys are very, very smart with how you guys are.
You can spot
advertising
talent.
Your.
Obviously, you found us.
Yeah, I'd say it's 50-50. Frank and I. We have. Frank and I have a budget that's split half and half. And we can choose basically whoever we want, I'll send it over to Frank. Like, Frank, I found somebody. Do you like this? And most of the time, like, I'd say like 99%, he'll say yeah. Because I want, it's someone that I looked at, but I want like the whole team to know about this person. So that's why you see I practice no-gi. So I do like the no-gi guys. Frank has his interest. Numbers doesn't have time to deal with ambassadors. He's busy behind the scenes.
Yeah, plus we don't like him coming out too much from his dungeon.
Yeah.
He's got to be behind
lock him away
all day.
Yeah. Is that because he's picked bad talent before or what?
No.
How often do you guys strike out? Is it often that you guys pick someone and you're like, oh, that didn't work out really well. It's not what the relationship is. It 50-50? Are you 9 times out of 10 right? Like, how often do you hit it?
Well, the thing is that, you know, you already have on Instagram, you already have your portfolio. So yeah, if your feed sucks, you pretty much know what you're getting into.
Talk about that a little bit, because I think there's a lot of people that are trying to build their business through social media, and being a big company that picks up on these things and decides, hey, let's affiliate ourselves with them or let's sponsor this athlete. What are you looking for? What are you looking at?
Okay, well, people, the first thing that you have to do is stop taking pictures with your fucking phones, right? We don't want any fucking blurry pictures. You know, you need to buy, if you're actually going to make a career out of this, you need like good equipment, like a DSLR. They're not that expensive. And if you're actually going to, you know, try to get some sponsorship out of it, you need high quality images for, you know, companies to actually use your shit.
Mm. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So. I tell people a lot too with like Instagram, you know, I encourage
actually, them. I'm sorry about that. You could use like good iPhones. Or good Samsung,
but at least
because now
do some
smartphones. Now smartphones can, you know.
You're big on landscape. I remember you giving a shit for that
from
using the landscape video
horizontal.
Yeah. I'm super anal with it. When people post a picture and the landscape isn't horizontal, it's like the first thing they teach you in photography.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's talk about why these things are important.
These
we know
details.
Like people don't really understand that. They don't understand that there's reasons behind why. That's not just because you like pictures nice like that. You're looking at it from a business perspective. It's the likelihood of somebody, because the picture is professional, I'm more likely to read the caption and then from there what it could end up leading to, right?
Of course.
I mean, I tell people a lot to just, you know, pull your Instagram page, since Instagram's we're talking about visual stuff, you know, pull it away from your face and from a bird's eye view when you just look at all the image, do they make you want to click on them? Do they make you want to look and see what is this picture all about or what does he say or this is a great shot and want to comment? Think about it like that, you know?
Dude, with everybody on Instagram and everybody using social media, you need to find a reason for people to look at your stuff. You know, why? Why would people want to look at your stuff?
Right.
So you got to give them a reason.
So which one of you guys found us?
Frank.
Yeah, oh, okay, cool.
To you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. He was... Yeah. Really trying to get with like you guys best. for a long time.
We went to one of the Fit Expos, and we saw like all the hoopla with the Shreds booth.
Yeah,
and then I didn't really know Shreds then, but then I started, you know, after seeing like the circus they had on, like I started seeing the CEO dude.
Frank, well, it's from a business perspective, it's interesting, right?
Yeah, that's what's interesting.
I'm sure your mind works like mine, where you saw it and you were like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
I
started diving into all their stuff to see. I was like, wow, I can't believe this company.
Frank bought a Lamborghini because of them.
Yeah. I had to sell everything I had.
You know. People, please buy the coffee.
And we were early. I think we were one of the first people to really call them out. A lot of people, if you've been a long-time listener, you know that. But if you weren't a long-time listener, because now they get all kinds of shit. Everybody's hating on them and talking about. But I don't remember anybody else hating on them. Back then, they were the cool kids. They were they're on their way up when we were like...
Dude, I just found it really funny that they're like, this dude is like hopping on a helicopter. He's like...
Shaving on a helicopter.
Close-up of him shaving himself, putting on this like crisp new shirt. And then he's like, yeah, you need some BCAAs. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'm working out with my shaker cup behind me.
BCAAs have
time.
To do with you fucking hopping on the helicopter. Right?
It makes sense.
But fascinating as fuck when you look down and you see 100,000 people like
I know,
it, right?
Yeah.
It makes you go like, what the fuck?
Or the dude hopping out of a Lambo. And then, you know, shaker with a shaker, protein.
So we were talking about this the other day. There's actually, this is a company that's executive on the rise right now, are these companies that lease these cars now for time periods. Like here, 1 hour, you can have a Lamborghini. So people are taking these Lamborghinis, taking these, doing photo shoots and stuff with it. Like it's getting to that point where that business is on the rise, that you can actually make some decent money renting to people so they can look like
you know what, to be in all honesty, like I've been reading some marketing books and one of the books that I read, there was a chapter called Fake It Till You Make It. So, I mean, they kind of basically...
That's where it comes from.
Yeah. But I do think that it's starting to change because social media, you're starting to see now that it's realism is more like we'll do a photo shoot with me getting out of my Jetta. Like, that's what we're going to do next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To just kind of show
all
like,
professional, you know?
All professional looking, though. Yeah. I mean, coming out with my...
I think in the long run, it's
my
better...
My JCPenney suit.
It's better just to be real.
Yeah.
You know? That's what's going to get you longevity.
It's what you were saying. You were saying that you said we were the first ones on hating them. You're not hating. You're being a realist.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, use hating because it's like an easier word. Right. But when I call out people on social media, they're like, you're a hater. I'm like, no, you're a realist. This guy did this. It's wrong and he's doing it wrong.
Yeah. And I remember when we said it, it wasn't like we just shit on the company. It's like, dude, I got mad respect for the guy who did it. You know,
he
saw a beautiful opportunity and was on top of Instagram faster than I was. Literally built a business through Instagram. Mm-hmm. That is a million something dollar business. Plus, mm-hmm. I mean, I think he was valued at?
His company? Like 10 million, way more than that.
Yeah, yeah. No.
He did really well, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I mean, he's made a shit ton of money through Instagram. And I find that very, very fascinating that someone could do that.
That's crazy.
People can hate. We can hate all we want as far as the cheesiness of it and this and that. But I mean, that's you got a brilliant. You know how they did. You know they actually own a lot of the
pages,
all the pages, the big pages. So they got in so early. It was so smart to get in early. He owns like Shredded Academy, bodybuilding, all those big ones that are got like 1.5, 3 million people, and they're just pictures of shredded people. The whole thing. It's owned by Shred, so then they sell to people to get on their market. So I would pay $600 for them to post me on their page. They're making money, revenue that way.
Shit.
And then in addition to that, they're marketing themselves through their thing.
Of course.
And then they build multiple pages up, so they have like 10 of these. And so a guy like me who might not know this comes in, I pay $600 for this page, this page, this page, this page, and it's really all the same people I'm advertising to. I don't know it because it's spread across six different pages.
Look at that, bro. That's pretty smart. In 2012, right? Oh, is that 2012 that was, or 13?
13.
In 10 months, they made a $3 million business. Shreds turned into...
What does it say after the comma?
He says. That's a good point.
Yeah, keep it real.
Hey. Oh, yeah.
He looks older, though, than 28.
Yeah. Well,
He's not 28. He's got to be older than 28.
Yeah. I mean, that's decent. We were valued at $100 million. Yeah. A couple of months back.
He says.
So. Yeah. Says me.
You say it is.
So
right?
He says. Yeah. He says.
Yeah.
The strategy that you guys have for building your brand, I really respect because you go to different avenues, different sports, and you tend to find talent that isn't necessarily massive, but has some kind of a reach.
It's the Red Bull approach, right? I mean, who was doing it before Red Bull? Do you know who did that first? I mean, they really were the first ones to do that.
I mean,
that,
is that
right?
What you're doing? You're trying to find like okay, this person looks like they've got all this talent. They're going to grow. Let's get in now so we can kind of grow along with them.
I mean, essentially, that's what you want to get.
Yeah.
Right. You want a
smart business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ask numbers all the time, like, tell me something you're passionate about so I can go look it up. It's hard to get stuff out of him. But I ask Frank, like, oh, what do you like? So maybe Frank likes yoga. So then I'll like look into yoga and I say, hey, I found these yoga people. Like running, like sometimes because you start focusing just on like little things after you get. So it's good to like ask people and like ask even your team because even though I speak to Frank like every day, like sometimes I don't know, maybe he's interested in a go-karting.
I think it's like it's a little mixture of like somebody that might have a big following, but we also have people that just have really nice pictures or are really talented and then our feed looks good.
Right.
Like you saw that, some of the videos that we do on like Become the Legend or like the motivational videos, and you see the clips on the athletes that we have and you see like the quality and you see the coolness about it. And then you're like, wow. Yeah.
So what has been, you know, what has been the greatest challenge for you guys right now? I think like we're going through a process right now, and you know, it's funny as you as you get to a new level in the business, it comes on new challenges. And right now we're definitely in this place where it's like there's so much that we want to accomplish and get done, and we just need more manpower. And it's almost time to, again, reinvest in that. And it's, again, dips into our pockets to do that. But if we want to scale this and grow it to the next level, these are the things that are necessary. What are some of the growing pains that you guys are currently going through and that you've gone through before?
Well, I think that e-commerce is just like a beast of its own, you know,
right,
just
like Amazon and shit like
well,
that.
Well, no, not really Amazon, because Amazon is like pretty much takes care of itself.
Yeah. Amazon's the easy one.
Yeah, Amazon's is the easy one. But, you know, how do you, there's two things about like your website, like how do you drive traffic to your website? And then once you have traffic there, how do you retain it? Like, you know, you don't want people coming in and then just leaving and not coming back. Mm-hmm. So you got to like set the correct traps in place to retain those people, or like offer them something they, you know, that's attractive to them. And, you know, once you have them, then you have to cater to them and preserve them. Like with your, let's say, you offer them a really cool subscription email, you know, something that has like,
Some value.
So, I mean, right now, I would say that our single biggest asset is our customer list. Mm. Yeah.
Do you guys run into a lot of challenges in the beginning? Like, what are some hurdles that you had to overcome as you guys grew?
Well, learning about that business.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
But there's small hurdles in even like the exporting stuff. Some of the times it got so difficult, like getting permits in the DR, getting permits.
Just bureaucracy.
Logistics. It's good that we were three business partners, because at one point I told Frank, like, that's it. I don't want to deal with more phone calls. Like, it's done. The project's dead. And then Frank would tell, no, come on, let's do it. I'll handle this. And the same thing when he was doing it, he's like, the formula doesn't work. Let's whatever. It's never going to work.
Like, I always had in my mind, like, if it was easy, everybody would be doing this. I'm just going to, you know, just keep on trucking, keep on doing this fucking thing till it gets off the ground. And, you know, that's the way I approached it. You know,
how long did that take? When was the turning point where you're like, oh shit, this business is.
Yeah. Like about a year.
It took about a year.
Yeah. To take off. Cause you know, right before we took the business off, it's a little bit different than just having a US coffee business, because we have to import the nootropics into the Dominican Republic, and then we have to export. Mm. So, in order for us to have like, exemptions on taxes, cause we're exporters. Mm-hmm. We need to like file a lot of permits and stuff like that in the Dominican Republic. And, you know, we have to file, let's say, for each nootropic, we have to file something. And, you know, we have to make yearly projections and, you know, have all these tables and charts. And we have to submit all that and then have meetings with them. Explain the business. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of red tape that goes into this. So it's a little bit different here in the States. I believe you can, if you have a coffee company, you just maybe like buy the beans off a middleman, or like have someone export the beans to you, and then they handle that nightmare, and you just, you know, pay whatever you have to do at the port, or maybe you could do like door-to-door delivery.
Have you ever thought about growing the coffee in the DR and then bringing it to the US and then doing the nootropics and everything here?
It would be too much expensive.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's like the manpower over there.
Oh, I see.
Plus, you know, we really like contributing to the farm community.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Dude, those guys are so happy that we're there. And when we go there, you know, like all the locals, we have a charity over there with like the owners of the coffee farm.
Wow. Yeah.
So we contribute to like the school children. And we, you know, we had Juju Mufu go there in December, and it was really,
that was cool.
It was fun. You know, we had like a full blowout event with like a buffet. We dressed up as elves, like fucking fools. Juju Mufu came out as Santa Claus.
All the ladies
jacked
were,
Santa
all the
Claus.
Ladies were taking
all the moms like
kick
tossed their kids to the side and started rubbing on Juju Mufu.
Juju's like
picture,
sweaty
picture.
Body.
You know, yeah, dude, so. He's such a, you know, what a perfect guy to do that
he's
with.
Yeah,
dude.
He's just like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, just like his Instagram.
No,
he's a funny cat.
He is. You know, people, he was one of our favorite guests to get a chance to get like to know. He's such a smart guy, too. Such a smart smart guy. A lot of, I don't think a lot of people realize how smart he is because
he was kind of, an IT bro.
Bro,
he used to build computers.
I know. Yeah. He's
a nerd.
He's very, very bright, man. And when you get to talk to him off air and like really dive into his mind and like what he's trying to do, and he learns fast.
Talk about not judging a book by its cover. Huh?
Fuck yeah. You know what? And you guys found him early. Way early.
He like had 3,000 followers.
3,000?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's a testament to your guys' ability.
You guys found us way small. We were, when you signed on with us, that was really early. I mean, probably five times the downloads now compared to when you guys signed up with us. I think which also we have this incredible deep loyalty to you guys because of that, because I think that is so cool.
Well, at that time especially, I mean, we
nobody wanted to touch us.
We're hard to sponsor.
You guys were so controversial.
Yeah,
totally.
I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I love these guys.
Yeah.
How much do you feel like we've toned down big time? Because you've been listening since almost day one.
I mean, yeah, you guys are pussies now. That's all Doug's fault.
I tell these motherfuckers. Yeah, I see Doug be
Doug. He's censoring you guys.
I tell him, right?
Spread your wings and fly.
how many honest episodes do you think you've listened to?
He's all 10. Dude,
why are you putting him on the spot like that?
Because I know he's listened to a lot. I know it's not five.
I know.
Six? No, I don't know. Maybe like 40.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like when you guys talk about your daily life, like your relationships like with your wives and kids. That's... Like,
do you know, I got a great opportunity from my buddy Brendan Abendejo is he was on Fox, Fox One Sports. And so he was connected to the producer of Fox, and Fox actually owns like 40 different podcasts. And at this time they owned Fighter and the Kid. And I got a chance to actually talk to him on the phone because, you know, and this was early on in Mind Pump. So you know, of course, I knew the reality of like Fox picking us up. Like, we just started, you know. So I'm like, okay, they're not going to pick us. Deep down inside, I'm going to swing for the fence. I hope I strike it with this guy so much, but that didn't happen. But what did happen was I had a great conversation with him, and he gave me a lot of good tips. And one of the things that he attributes to Fighter and the Kid's success is their ability to storytell and to share their personal lives. Mm-hmm. And that was when we put that. Well, we. We naturally did it kind of right out the gates, but that was something that we try and make a conscious effort to do more of that, especially these two guys. I'm always trying to push them in the direction of sharing their stories with their kids, because I feel like being a guy who's not a father, there's so much that I've learned listening to them that's made me go like, oh shit, I would handle that differently. I'm glad I heard that. I'm glad I heard that dialogue. And I'm like, God, if I feel that way, there's got to be fucking thousands of other people. So,
of course,
I definitely think that.
I mean, you got a lot of point of views here. So. Mm.
And you're a dad, right, Frank? Yeah. How old's your kid?
A 2-year-old.
Oh man.
Yeah.
No sleep. Are they terrorizer?
Yeah, he's a little shit.
He does pull-ups.
Yeah.
Frank's doing him like pull-ups and improving his grip strength.
All right.
Well, 2-year-olds are very energetic when you give them coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he only has
you saw
like,
that?
He has like one or two cups a day only, right?
Yeah, just
you know. You limit it to 300 milligrams of caffeine.
300 milligrams a day.
Somebody's pissed right now.
So
yeah, he likes dipping his finger into my coffee.
Oh, that's
But I don't even notice. Like sometimes I'll just put the coffee on the coffee table. And he'll come over, and I'm like watching TV, and he'll just dip his hand in there and start drinking the coffee. I'm like, no!
Takes after
stop that. That.
Do you? How many different areas are you guys into? And what I mean by that is, I know you guys have athletes in MMA, obviously podcasting.
Oh my God! Do they have drone racing? They've got freaking.
You were just telling me yesterday about, or is it maybe this morning that you guys work with in the gaming world, like video gaming world?
Yeah, oh, you guys got into that.
We've been trying to get. Into that, we actually work with a guy that we sponsor him. He's the league announcer, so he does the play-by-play. He used to be like a professional Call of Duty player. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working with him for a while. He's out in the UK. He's really good. His hashtag is FollowDK.
I'm not really a big gamer, so Theo handles that.
Yeah,
and unless numbers.
You consider, so is that your lead?
Unless you consider pocket pool game.
So are you? Were you the drone guy too?
Because
that was early. You were on that early too. My two best friends that grew up with are so geeked out on drone racing right now, and it's hilarious because that was like 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, right? Yeah. When you picked them up. And that was the first I'd ever really seen it. I never even heard of it then.
And each year, the drones are getting faster.
Oh, that's crazy now.
And faster.
It's on ESPN now. Shit. Yeah. It's like a legit.
And the spectators, if you want, you put on the goggles and say you're a spectator, you want to follow drone one or drone two or drone three. And I think that's what's cool. And I think it's going to be the future sport.
It's brilliant.
I think you guys are fucking visionaries. I think you're 100% right.
No, it's.
It makes so much sense.
It's so check this out. My girls, so Katrina's company just now hired 3 full-time employees that all they do is fly drones. 3 pilots. And then they call them pilots. So they're
it's a construction company, right?
Yeah, it's a construction company, and they have hired. It's so a position in the company that did not exist 1 year, not even fucking 6 months ago. It's now a position enough to where they're hiring 3 people that this is their new job now to do that. So you got to know that these guys are going to get contracts
this. I'm in construction, and before what you used to – like way back in the day when, you know, my dad first started his construction company, he used to hire someone in a helicopter. And that was so expensive.
Yeah.
So now everybody, like if you have like a construction website, you want to put like all the developments from like that type of angle, from like a drone angle. Yeah. So you need to hire someone, everybody that's doing a building. Pretty much.
So when I see stuff like that, and then you see something like drone racing, which will become the pros of doing flying drones, can do anything, any condition. Jeez, like you got to know that's their fallback plan, right? As a kid, you get to have fun, build these cool ass drones, make some money through sponsorships and shit, and then your pivot is the possibility of you actually working for a large company doing this. That's the future, and you got to know. And you see now when you go to like the Spartan race and some of these big events. All you see is these drones all over the place shooting all different angles. I mean, you're going to see more and more of that. It's so brilliant that you were on top of that, man.
I mean, the drone shots are just so epic.
They are.
They make whatever video you're doing just feel epic.
Yeah, it's on the list for us as far as the new toys. We just, you know, we just picked up. But did you boys see the webinar, Doug's? What was it, Doug, called? What's it
Sling,
called?
Sling Studio.
Sling Studio? Yeah. This is man.
Yeah, like one man can do the job of like 4 cameramen and, you know, somebody that's managing the whole thing.
So it connects to your iPhone, it connects to GoPro, connects DSLRs. Like you could connect it to anything. You could have 6 different cameras, different types of cameras, all Bluetooth together. Doug's controlling it all through his iPad.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's true. It's cool.
So how did you guys you have Chris with you? How did you guys end up meeting up with Chris, and I see you guys traveling together?
Actually wrote to my email, not Chris's buddy Kevin wrote to my email.
My manager, my business manager.
Yeah, and I said to Theo, it makes sense, and I want to scrap with him. So, I want to fight him.
So here we are.
So there's animosity right from the beginning, huh?
Yeah. So talk about that. That's legit. You guys.
Well, Chris, your guy reached out to him. Was that because you told him to, or he was looking for good matches for you? How'd that happen?
He knew that I loved coffee, and I think that he saw you guys and saw that you guys were. Entrepreneurs and had a sharp eye and were cool, and all of your pages and feed is awesome. So I think that was kind of like he saw synergy there.
Mm.
Yeah. And Frank likes to like beat up on new ambassadors. So he's like, get this guy up. We'll set it up.
he's like, I look
good. It'll validate me.
You're not going to be able to beat up on him like the gamers.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Start with those.
Yeah.
You should probably work your way up the ambassador line a little bit.
I've been training, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm assuming Chris is tougher than the World of Warcraft kid.
So, Chris, you got quite a pedigree in boxing and in kickboxing. What do you think about this upcoming fight that's coming up here, dude, with McGregor and Mayweather?
I mean, it's everyone asks me, and like I'd really give the simple answer. They're boxing, so the boxer's going to win.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really tough for McGregor to transition. And from my experience, I've worked with a ton of MMA guys in my own sparring, my own training, and I literally came from an MMA gym. It's just the pace is going to be so difficult for McGregor to deal with.
So he's going to get schooled.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, you and I were talking at dinner, and what I thought was you said that what I see is like what we said 4 rounds. You said anybody has 2 rounds, right? Yeah. So maybe he gets to 6 and he can hang there, and by that time he'll wear him down. Mm. And I told you that the line is 7 or 7.5.
He goes
so
to 7.
Yeah, I said 5 or 6 rounds. I think that McGregor is big enough, strong enough that he'll be in there for a little bit. And like I said, he's got a couple rounds in him, but I think the pace is going to catch up pretty quick. And Floyd's really – that's one thing Floyd is good at – well, the best thing he's good at is really being smart and seeing his opponents and analyzing at the moment. You know, he's always seeing where a guy is, seeing where he's hurt, where he's out of breath, how he's breathing. He literally analyzes everything that's happening in the ring.
That's what I mean. What he's known for, he goes that those first 1 to 2 rounds, every Mayweather fight you'll watch is kind of slow paced, mm-hmm. and you can see he's filling out the guy's rhythm and dodging.
He'll even lose rounds. I could see him losing a round to McGregor in the first.
That's
know,
why you
couple
need to
rounds.
Keep it to 2 rounds, like we're doing. Doing 2 rounds. 2 rounds. That's all I need.
That's hilarious. Are you guys all watching the fight together or what?
No, that's August 26th. Oh, yeah. I'll probably be back in the Dominican.
Yeah, he'll be back over there. I said last night, and Chris agreed with me, that I think McGregor is just going to disqualify himself.
Yeah.
I think he's going to start getting his ass kicked.
You mean bite his ear?
He's going to throw like a kick or do some like illegal move.
That's like the first thing I thought was going to happen in terms of how the fight's going to end. They're like, oh, you don't think it's going to go the distance? I'm like, nah, I think that once McGregor realizes that he can't hang, he's going to try and make it really, really rough. And I think the refs are going to be ready for that. So, mm-hmm.
And then that'll be a wonderful setup for a part 2 or something like that.
I think that's a great call. I think the fact that they have allowed all the hype to actually get in everybody's head that the McGregor actually has a chance. It's just
brilliant.
That's what boxing promoting is, though. That's how it's always been. You try and blow things up, make people believe that the underdog can win.
It's funny that I totally feel like I can see this being. Could be a really boring fight, to be honest with you, and I still have got to watch it. Yeah. I still, just because,
honestly, I hate all of it. I hate that. I hate everything that's going on in the promotion, what it's doing for
Well,
for
because
the
you're a boxer,
exactly. Yeah. So you get this guy who's never fought before, and he's going to chance to fight literally a living legend, one of the best fighter of our generation. Where guys like me have been dreaming about fighting guys like this for our whole lives, yeah. You know, and this guy literally is. This has been a 2-year
campaign. Don't you have like a big match that's going to happen right around that time that like nobody's talking about?
Triple G, right?
Isn't in Canelo?
Which is an awesome fight between two absolute studs in the sport. Like you have some of the two of the biggest names in the sport, and it's being overshadowed by this sideshow.
Right. Mm. You actually have a pretty – I'm surprised because even at dinner you didn't say anything. I expected meeting somebody of your caliber that is – exactly, that would be almost pissed about that because, like you said, that could be your payday.
Yep.
It should be your payday. You've put the work in. If you definitely have a better chance than
– my goal when I had the Pacquiao fight was if I beat Pacquiao, we were going for Mayweather the next fight. And that was who actually – Pacquiao fought after he defeated me. He went right on Mayweather the very next fight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was literally the semifinal for the Mayweather sweepstakes. You
damn.
Know, like, so that was I so now like seeing this it's just like fuck.
Now walk me through what that was like getting ready for someone like Pacquiao. The real deal.
Another living legend. Yeah. I've been saying this too about the McGregor Mayweather fight. I'm like McGregor picked. I mean, obviously he's the bigger guy. But if he fought Pacquiao, totally different situation. Like he's got a really good chance of getting really fucking hurt with Pacquiao. Pacquiao's an offensive machine. Mayweather's not so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so stylistically.
And he looks like he's been hitting the Mexican supplements.
Oh, is Pacquiao getting jacked right now?
I mean, they've been saying that for years. So back to your question, Adam, about, you know, how did that come about? You know, I basically with boxing, especially when you're coming from where I came from, which is basically a homegrown grassroots kind of campaign to get to where I got, you just got to beat a bunch of people you're not supposed to beat. You know, and I was an underdog for, you know, much of my higher level career, and I just kept winning. You know, I ended up beating Ruslan Provodnikov in a fight that I believe the odds opened up at 14-1.
Oh, shit.
It closed much closer. I think it was finally like 6 or 7-1. I know people that won a lot of money on my fight that night.
And a testament to your will. In the first round, he hit you with a really big shot that busted your orbital bone.
Have you seen his Instagram?
I saw that picture.
Busted eye?
Yeah.
Pretty much had a purple grapefruit on my eye for most of the fight. But yeah, he came with a left hook in the first round. And literally, this is what people don't realize in the public, like how dangerous punches really are. Mm. I got hit with one punch in the first minute of the fight. It broke my orbital in 3 places, my nose in 2, and my eye was shut.
Damn!
Shut. One punch. Literally, one single punch. People don't understand how good we are at punching. You know, it's what we do, you know? So it's really
assault,
dangerous
brother.
In there, yeah.
It's assault.
And that was 4 months before his Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, that's another
thing.
He had
that busted eye.
So we were talking about that last night. They're like, that's not enough time for that to heal. I'm like, no, it was not. But, you know, like, what are you going to do? You're going to turn in the Pacquiao fight?
You take the opportunity when you can. You're still fighting, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We're looking to come back in December.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Tomorrow he's fighting Frank.
I'm going to be his tune-up.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Chris. I want to talk a little bit about your journey into becoming a pro. What that was like. I mean, what inspired you to be a fighter, and then what was that like trying to fight your way all the way up to becoming a professional athlete? Like,
yeah. So that's a great question. I literally played every sport you could think of. You know, we talked about swimming earlier. I swam. I played baseball. I played football. I literally played everything. I played baseball. The whole team aspect for me didn't fit. Like, it didn't make sense for me. Even as a child, I was like, you know, if I had a bad game and we won, it kind of felt empty. Mm-hmm. And if I played really well and we lost, I was pissed. So I'm like, this team thing doesn't really make sense for me. Swimming was cool because it was more individual. But at the same time, I wanted to punch people. I wanted to fight. I grew up, like, I had an older brother.
That's testosterone.
And he's you know, he's been a big part of my life and kind of my upbringing, too. And he used to just make me fight kids all the time. Like, oh my God, we'd be at his baseball games and he'd be like, yeah, my brother can run faster than your brother. And I'd be like, I'd look at him like, kid's 2 years older than me and 3 feet taller than me. I don't think all right. Then we'd race and I'd lose. He goes, yeah, but my brother kick your brother's ass.
Oh God.
And then I'm like, again, I don't think I can, but and we'd
do it.
We'd be in a ring of older guys and I'd be literally like
scrapping
kids, you know, fighting
Did
them.
Did you have any technique back there?
Not back then, not at all. I was just
winging punches.
It's like, I'm looking at him like, why are you doing this to me?
At what point did you realize you liked it though? Did you go through a phase where you're like, I'm kind of enjoying this? Because I'm assuming after enough street fights, after you've been beat up a few times, you actually get pretty fucking good at it.
You know what it is? I was fighting so many people that are older than me and my brother used to kick my ass so much. I wasn't afraid of anybody my age or anyone even somewhat around me. So like, and other people kind of noticed that, like, yeah, he's not worried about these fights anymore. Like, this is kind of cool to watch him go. And then I got into martial arts and then I like didn't never look back. I think I was 8 or 9 years old and I started training martial arts.
What'd you start with?
Chinese Kenpo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's where I started. And we had a few. So my sensei, Robert Morrow, his father was a former boxer. So there was a lot of boxing involved in how he did his training and his style. So when we sparred like full contact with boxing gloves on, and you know, like this was kind of before the advent of MMA, and we kind of brought a lot of that kind of all around fighting involved.
I have a similar background. I'm a black belt in Billy Blank's Tae Bo.
Billy Blank's man could fight his ass off too. He was one of those guys that I looked up to as a kid because he was a legit professional kickboxer.
So you're just deflated when you saw him on the infomercials.
I was like, good for you, dude.
Yeah, right.
The money.
You probably didn't make a lot of money in fighting back then.
Yeah. I mean, no, not at all.
Talk about what that's like too, coming up financially through the ranks, because I'm assuming for a boxer, it doesn't really get decent financially until you get up to the professional level.
So I love kickboxing, and I didn't leave it because I didn't like it. I left it because there was no money. I won 2 world titles. I was undefeated. 2 different weight classes, 2 organizations. I fought guys from literally all over the world in kickboxing. My biggest payday was like $4,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. As a world champion?
2-time world champion.
How fucking bullshit is that, dude?
Just wasn't very popular. And it was also, again, that's when MMA was really picking up. So kickboxing got really kind of shut out. People were boxing fans or people were MMA fans. Kickboxing got stuck in the middle. Like, all right, you guys,
that's so crazy to me because kickboxing is so like
awesome.
Yeah, it's so entertaining and crazy. And it doesn't, like, people just, why is it not caught on?
It doesn't have a pedigree in America like boxing does.
Right.
Like, if you go, like, if you go to, like, for example, in Japan, right, and you watch MMA in Japan, the crowd doesn't boo when people hit the ground like they do in America.
They respect it.
Because Japan has a judo, you know, pedigree, a grappling pedigree, also, they understand it. And here in the U.S., we don't, it's boxing. So you know, it's just
boo!
Different.
Yeah, yeah, stand them up, you fags.
USA.
USA.
That's just it. And so in the U.S., I mean, it's you either box, and now MMA is starting to grow. So that's the other thing too. So I always find it, you know, when I first started watching, I was a big boxing fan as a kid, and then when the UFC started, we were huge fans. And you know, I remember I'd have friends that did martial arts, like the traditional martial arts. And I'd tell him, like, man, you'd get your butt kicked by, like, a boxer who's only been doing it for, like, a year or two or whatever. And I remember in school there was this kid who did a little bit of boxing. And then there was this other kid that was a black belt in, like, Taekwondo. And the kid who was a boxer, we had them fight to see who would be. And the kid, kicked the shit out of him. Yeah. And I don't think people realize just, like, how effective of a fighter you can be if you practice fighting and how ineffective of a fighter you are if you never practice fighting. Like, you can throw all the punches and kicks, but if you never get hit or hit anybody, You're not so doing
Chris, how did you not go? I mean, I would think someone with your pedigree would highly consider MMA, like going that direction. Like, what made you go the boxing direction instead of the MMA direction?
Yeah, I so this is really the way that I put it. I grew up watching boxers, and I remember watching my grandfather. My grandfather's from Argentina, and boxing is big down there. And he used to talk about these guys like they were like gods among men. So I grew up idolizing boxers. There wasn't even MMA when I was a kid. You know, so like I don't have that memory of looking up to Randy Couture, you know, because when Randy Couture was popular, I was already boxing, already, you know, training like that. So like even now people are like, oh, what about boxing? I'm like, I don't have a passion for, what about MMA rather? I don't have a passion for that sport. And these sports are so dangerous that if I don't have a passion for it, I can't balance out the risk versus reward for that to make that jump.
It's funny you should say that, Sal, because, you know, when I look myself in the mirror, I go, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. You know, whenever I'm going to go like to concerts or nightclubs or bars, you know, I just can't be throwing these hands around.
Yeah. Or cruises.
Or cruises.
When you're about to pop open that bottle.
That's awesome. I'm
not too proud of that.
wait, what? This sounds like a story. Sounds like there's a story involved there.
Was this this recent trip?
I don't encourage fighting on air.
Yeah. He'll get,
I don't
like,
encourage
we'll
fighting.
Oh, don't worry. Doug edits all this stuff. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't encourage fighting, but yeah, I got into a little scrap about 6 years ago on a cruise ship. I mean, it was on a 31st of December, New Year's. It was like 1:30 a.m., you know, everybody was up on deck having drinks, New Year's. I mean, come on. And I was with all my cousins, my little cousins, and we had these four dudes just, you know, passing by us and yelling racial slurs at us, like freaking beaners.
Oh, wow.
You wetbacks. I'm like, dude, I'm not even fucking Mexican.
You asshole. Insult me correctly, you motherfucker. Yes. That's what I say to people like that. You're going to insult me. Yeah. Insult me, right, you dick?
And then my little cousin goes to the bathroom, and I see that they ambush him, and they grab him by the throat. He's like screaming, Frankie. And I stand up and I like rush over there, and the dude that was holding him down, he's like, fuck you, what are you going to do? And I just, you know, I just punched him right in the face. And
I got him in a guillotine.
I got the other dude
So you punched one dude, guillotine the other motherfucker?
Yeah, I did.
Damn, nobody caught this on video?
The security is a problem.
That would have went viral.
Yeah, I did a triangle choke on him. But I don't encourage anybody no fighting, man. It was really expensive for me, too, because the guy sued me for assault.
Oh.
I had to go to jail for like 4 days.
Holy shit.
What the? Are you serious?
Miami-Dade.
He called me.
Shout out
to
my homies in Miami-Dade Correctional Facility.
Still doing time.
Shout out to Dante and Negron. What's up, dog?
That's 4 days?
Yeah, 4 days, because it was like...
hard
time. When I went to... when they got me in the system, I had to go through immigration, and they didn't... They just put me in there without going through immigration. And the immigration offices were closed, so...
So they had to wait till they opened?
Yeah, they had to wait.
It was a long weekend, right?
Yeah, it was like everybody was on vacation.
Oh, you were so pissed.
So I got, they threw me in there like Saturday morning, and they put in my request on Monday, and then got me out on Tuesday afternoon.
What was the lawsuit? What was he trying to sue for?
Assault and battery.
Well, you knocked out his teeth, right?
It's permanent damage. Oh, when you do some permanent damage.
This was 6 years ago?
You know, because your teeth don't grow back.
You knocked his teeth out?
Yeah.
That was a small detail you left out.
Yeah.
Like, if I told you a story and I punch somebody, you're not a very good storyteller. If I tell somebody I punch someone, I'm definitely going to let you know.
I'm not proud of it. But,
and
you know.
He forgot.
You made that point already. Yeah.
It's funny because when I punched the dude, okay, now that we're, you know, storytelling.
Disclaimer's
when I punched
over.
The dude, the elevator shaft was right behind him.
And it closed.
And it had a sensor. And when it senses people, it opens, right?
Yeah.
And this guy went in there. And when it senses people inside, it closes. So it closed. I punched him inside the elevator shaft, and then it closed, and then it was really
it's
funny.
Like a movie.
Yeah, it's like a movie. So like when the scrap was over, the elevator shaft opens back up, and he comes crawling out like The Walking Dead. And his mouth is like full of blood. He looked like
he
a zombie.
Spit his teeth out.
Were his teeth? Did his teeth stay on that floor, and he went down?
No. He stayed on that.
So Frank called me.
Man, you got
he
some
called
anger
me like,
inside you, buddy.
On the third day, he called me from jail, and he's. I'm going to let him explain this. And he's like, man, I even had to do a three-way here. So
Now he'll explain. Wait, hold up.
Frankie, you are a terrible storyteller. That sounds like somebody fucked me.
Okay, you were the one doing the fucking.
Listen, there was no, Yeah, there was no fucking going on.
Sure.
You know, my ass is still virgin. He meant a three-way call.
When he called me, he didn't tell me that. I'm like, three-way? And then he explained, like, but explain. Explain that three-way call. That's a good story.
Yeah, so inside the cells, they have, like, payphones. And, you know, one of the ways they make money is that, you know, you get money in your account, and then you make calls, like collect calls and stuff like that. So they make money off that. But, you know, nobody had money in their accounts. I guess they're, like, expensive phone calls. I didn't see how much they were, but I used to be doing phone calls, like calling my uncle collect.
Like three times, you know, a day.
So yeah, like three times a day, and like after the four, and I'm like, nobody's using the phones here. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So after
it's like $100,
and everybody's like eyeballing me. I'm like Chatty Cathy on the phone, like la 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 la, and then like this fucking one dude like is eyeballing me, and I know that he's got something going on in his head, like just looking at me, and he decides to man up and like roll up on me. He's like, yo, white boy, let me get a three way. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, tell whoever's on the other line to get my number on the call. I'm like, mom, can you put Uncle Junior on the phone? One of my friends in here wants to make a phone call. And then she puts, you know, obviously I'm not going to tell my mom that one of the fucking inmates wants to do a freaking phone call. So I'm like, I tell my uncle, okay, dial 555-33, whatever. So he dials up this chick, right? And he goes, okay, Darnell's on the phone for you. Right? He's like, give me a phone. So I pass him the phone, and this guy just fucking goes off on his girl. Like, you haven't put money on my account, bitch. Blah, blah, blah. Wow. Blah. I need to pay my bills, blah, blah, blah. Dude, and he just fucking goes off. And my uncle's listening to all
and
this.
And you're
shit.
Standing there. Oh, my God.
He's like, you fucking bitch, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, just standing, like, just picturing my uncle, just like, This is a type of environment.
These are Frankie's
my
friends.
My nephew's in. Yeah, Frankie's friends, right? And then when he's done, he passes the phone. He doesn't even say thank you. He passes the phone to me, and I go, Uncle Junior, can you please not tell my parents that this just happened? He's a very nice guy in here. He's a very nice young lad. Like, okay, so I didn't make any more phone calls after
that. How much did them phone calls end up costing? Did you see later on or what?
No. My uncle never told me how much they were, but I mean, they weren't that long of phone calls, but I stopped making calls after that.
That's hilarious.
I can't believe. Did the guy win the suit? Did you get nailed for it? I mean,
did I what?
Did you got sued?
Yeah. I settled.
This was 6 years ago?
Yeah, this was before.
Oh, good.
Before.
Good,
yeah. Yeah, so I also had my bologna sandwich stolen from me. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's the true tragedy of the story.
Dude, I was sipping on like my Sunkist, and this dude just takes my bologna sandwich. That's
in jail?
Did he ask
in
for
jail,
it?
Yeah.
Legit? No, this is legit?
No, yeah, legit. He didn't.
He literally just grabbed your bologna.
Did he walk away and say,
he grabbed my bologna sandwich.
Wow.
And he's looking at me, eating my sandwich. And I'm like looking at him.
Oh my God.
You won't eat that?
And he's like, what? You going to eat that, white boy?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah.
I wasn't hungry.
Yeah, I'm not even hungry. I hadn't eaten in like 2 days. I'm not even hungry. I lost like 5 pounds, bro. The food is shit. The food is shit in there.
Were you like, no, I'm paleo.
Yeah. And like I broke my, I fractured my knuckle. So I had like a crazy fever in there. Because, you know, there's a lot of bacteria in your mouth. So I guess when I like punched the dude in the mouth, like I had some bacteria. So my hand was full of pus.
What?
It was just like,
yeah, this story keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Terrible.
You might be worse than Justin at telling stories. He tells, no big deal, I was in jail.
That's why I like
then
you.
Then we move on, then we go back, like, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened.
This is the third time I've heard this story. There's new information.
I'm like peppering in
new
like,
developments.
Really important details.
Yeah, yeah, like the best parts of the story. Yeah, people's teeth coming. People's teeth flying out.
It's a character building event. Turned you into the man you are today.
Yeah,
I would say.
You know, right after I got fucked, I got released. What? Huh? Yeah.
So you talked earlier about the website and nurturing leads and the funnels and stuff like that. Who had to learn that part of the business? Was that something that one of you already knew, or did you have to go out? Did you hire someone, or did you learn all yourself? Like
we at one point it was just basically learning trial by mistakes. Yeah, trial and error. Then we hired someone, which I would suggest to anybody, because that whole SEO world and those like Google search and Google ads, it's a whole other world.
Well, yeah, that more like the social media. We hired someone, like getting the traffic into our website, but like retaining traffic, we're handling that ourselves. Our partner CFO Numbers is really good at like web design and stuff like that. So he seamlessly like yeah. integrates all these apps and you know, with like the pop-ups, you know, the mailing list.
I love his nickname. Numbers.
Yeah.
That's so great.
He loves yeah. Numbers. What he gets off on Numbers.
What are you guys' nicknames? You guys have nicknames?
Just Frankie and Theo. Okay. Yeah. We just tell Numbers like, okay, we want this on a website, and he'll just go to town.
Oh, wow.
And do it, yeah.
We need a Numbers.
So I imagine he's doing all the split testing and comparing all the stuff.
Yeah,
and,
he does all that.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about that at all.
Do you feed him bologna sandwiches? Like slide him under the door? Get back to work.
He does, what's that exercise currency. That he does? He does...
some of that cardio yoga shit.
No, it's this guy.
Shanti. The Shanti. T20. T20,
oh,
the Shanti.
He does that. He does that in his living room.
And he like swears. Yeah.
We're going to send you. He's send like, him look at me. Anywhere.
I'm getting cut. I'm getting cut. I'm like, no, you're not.
He has that saying also. Oh, man, if he was. He has this, the Shanti. Yeah. Apparently the people that do that. Have like
so Alex Numbers, I know you're going to be listening. Your workout sucks.
You know what's funny is, so we're hiring a company right now, Rhino Digital Media, that's doing going to be doing all this side of our business for us, and that they use him as an example, as like one of the better like internet marketers in our fitness world. Like Sean T gets to everybody them, and then what's the other one that he keeps showing talking about?
Tony Horton.
Tony Horton.
That's a P90X.
I mean, that's it's crazy what a monster that is now. I mean, it's we hired like three different companies, ended up firing all of them, trying to find, because it was tough for us. Which
I was just snake oil people in the marketing.
Yeah, because everybody knows they need help with it, right? That it's a big piece of the business, and then getting somebody who can actually deliver our message, and it's tough
because, in an authentic way. You know, something that jives with us. It can't just be
so. On at least on my side, like we were collaborating with Quest Nutrition on some like social media stuff, like giveaways and stuff like that, and I got to rapping with one of the executives over there, and it was really eye opening because she told me that one of her biggest assets were her email list, and that was like, whoa, that was like really eye opening to me. I'm like, dude, we need to like, you know, really pay attention to this, like, you know, that can 10x 15x your business just growing your email list.
Well, we were talking to somebody in, and I don't want to say who it is, but we were talking to somebody who's in the marketing world or whatever, has an email list that's massive, like 500,000 people, right? It's like 500,000 people.
Yeah.
And they were telling us that it's worth like $100 million.
Yeah.
That list.
150 million.
Just that list alone. I mean, it's absolutely incredible how important that is for, you know, new, I guess the new business, right? Because it's all eventually going to be that way.
Yeah. Because I mean, that email list are like people that are really interested in you.
So it's not just random people.
It's not like random people.
What were some of the things? So, do you kind of in your head remember about where you were as far as how many emails you had, and then what did you start to do to really increase that? And has it doubled since then, or is it like
we're doing it now? We just started focusing after Frank had that conversation. We brought it up in a meeting, so we're focusing on our email list, and we have special. So our subscribers get special offers.
Our email list was growing. It grew pretty fast from us, just, you know, from our Instagram. And It was pretty much like it happened kind of organically. We didn't implement any let's say what they call traps or you know, anything on the website. We had like a basic subscribe thing, but you know, it had no
for the newsletter.
Yeah. But we weren't pushing
just
it.
Like a
we
banner up there.
Yeah, and we weren't even like nurturing to it. We weren't, you know, we didn't have like our newsletter now has like valuable stuff.
Yeah,
and,
I like
and funny
it.
And
I
fun,
like what you guys send.
Stuff. So
there's some value to it. That's good.
Yeah, and that's important. So,
what do you guys are? You guys have more than just coffee now. You guys have other products. Let's talk about that a little bit, and maybe what you're doing moving ahead. Like, what are you guys looking to do?
We're launching now whole beans, coconut oil, and
we have the seed stack. Like
the seed stack just came out about 2 months ago. That's been a game changer in my
life. Which Adam loves.
Dude,
if he would ever fucking share it with us.
That thing is like, Adam, what?
Bro, you guys send your care packages to him. He eats all that shit and we don't get to taste any of it.
So We're exchanging information after this because Adam is a hogger. Because
Adam's going to use it, though. That's how I justify
it. Bro, I will use the shit out of seeds. I'll put seeds on everything.
You don't get to pick and choose. You got to use all the products or you got to sacrifice all of them. I use all
that. Pretty much changed my life, man. Like my digestive.
You got good poops now?
Oh, my God. Dude, I mean, you know when you have like a high protein diet?
Yeah.
Which most people as large as me. tend to do.
You're massive.
You know, sometimes you have little log jams.
Shit.
You need silky shit.
Don't look that up.
So
by
all the we have the seeds, we have the cacao, we have the coffee.
Coconut oil.
The coffee is in
we have K-cups.
The Juji. We have the K-cups. We're developing the Nespresso pods.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we get a lot of requests for Nespresso pods for Australia and Europe. They don't use K-cups over there. And the nut butter, the sea almond butter, which should be out.
Yeah, what is January? What are sea almonds that's different than almonds?
Grown by the sea?
Yeah, they're grown by the sea. They're also known as tropical almonds. They're hard to harvest because the outer part of it, like the nut itself, it's really soft. So the seed inside crushes really easy and it's really thin. But we found a way do it, and like we roast it and we grind it up. Frank developed the formula, which he mixes in with coconut oil, which will also be coming out.
So it comes out really
super creamy.
Really creamy.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a little bit more salty. It has
smoky.
It has a little bit more flavor.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, you know, living next to the sea.
Excellent.
You know, that environment.
Do you have launch dates yet? Do we know how close are we?
Maybe like January.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to just like throw products to, you know, we have to, you know, we have to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
the coconut oil should be, it left the country last week, so it should be in a couple, like 3 to 4 weeks, it should be in the market.
Mm. Okay, so the coconut, so it's just the seeds won't be, I mean, the nuts won't be till January.
Yeah,
or so.
Yeah. Probably
that's
right.
I want to know what's coming next, like what, and then how soon should we expect it?
The coconut oil within a month. It should be in our store. It's
sweet.
Single serving.
That's
going to
be cool.
Yeah.
So you can squirt it right in your coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're single packets.
So you can take it to the gym, put it in your pocket.
Yeah, they're one tablespoon packets. And, you know, we designed them specially like thinking about cold weather. Because, you know, when it's like over 70 degrees, it gets kind of like cold like ice cream.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's something you have to scoop it out, right? So if you have like a packet, you could just tear it open and toss it inside your like hot coffee or throw it on your...
Or take it on a plane and like put it on a salad
and
or something.
It'll dissolve in like 25 seconds.
Mm. Oh, that's excellent.
Brilliant.
How are the whole beans going to work with the nootropics?
No, we're not.
No, nootropics. Okay.
They're called,
just the coffee.
It's called Phase 1 by Chimera Coffee. So it's just what...
Just beans.
It's basically what we use for our pea berry. Pea berry, if whoever doesn't know, it's actually a mutation on the coffee plant. So... Every coffee plant yields about 3 to 5% pea berry. It's really hard to harvest because you need to pick them out by hand. So what happens is instead of the cherry developing two seeds, it develops one whole seed. It tastes different. It has a less acidic flavor.
It's a little fruitier.
Yeah, a bit fruitier. So we're using that. We're going to sell it in whole beans as our like phase one.
So do you have, you guys eventually want to have like a light roast, a dark roast, a pea berry, like a whole line of all different?
Yeah, probably eventually. I mean, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we can do it.
What are you hearing the most from your fans or you guys, your consumers? What are they saying like they want? Like you said, the K-cups, you've said these things that you guys, what's the biggest one you're hearing right now that you guys need to tackle?
Well, I think we're doing that now.
Yeah, so I think
it's... The whole beans. And then the Nespresso.
And then Nespresso. Whole beans and Nespresso.
Those have been the big ones.
That's excellent. And you were talking about yesterday about nitro sealing or...
Yeah, so our next batch, not this one. This one's batch 18. Mm-hmm. So batch 19, we're going to... we bought a big nitro sealing machine. So like potato chips, they're nitro sealed.
Right.
That's why they last so long. So it's basically a way of we
just guaranteeing freshness from like, you know, if 3 to 4 months from now, it's going to taste like, you know, like you just got it.
Yeah, so I can buy 20 bags from you and I can put it.
Yeah, like we just roasted it.
And we could have gotten like a big like vacuum sealer, but we didn't want like the bag to look ugly. So that's why we're putting in. So the machine, what it actually does, it sucks out the oxygen, puts nitrogen in, then sucks it out again, and then puts nitrogen just to make sure all the oxygen is gone.
Yeah, yeah, what causes like the oxidation is the oxygen inside the bag. So
we should do that for marijuana.
Yeah.
Seal the marijuana and we could sell it the next year for a year.
You guys used to sell marijuana after before Mind Pump.
I did.
You were peddling drugs before peddling maps.
Yeah. Hold on a second. It's a plant just like coffee. Okay. Yeah, calm down. That's everybody calm down. Right.
Yeah, no,
you'll do your first time
here. Helped start up two cannabis clubs, the first two medical marijuana clubs in the Bay Area. So I was a part of that whole movement here. So there's like 170 now.
That's why you were rocking dreadlocks back in the day.
We all have our criminal past. Back when you had hair. Yeah.
But we were, so I started there, but I actually even got into the growing side of the business. And so I had farms. So I had outdoor, indoor crops, all that stuff. And, you know, I'd pay attention to the market changes for cannabis throughout the year. You know, when there's harder, it's hard to get certain strains and certain types at certain times.
It's probably similar for coffee, right? The way that they're, you know, depending on the weather or whatever, it probably makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So because of that, I would strategically nitrogen seal. I'd seal them all, and then I would release them out at certain points of the year when the market was better for them. So like a certain strain that was outdoor at a certain time of the year is much more valuable than any other time, and then vice versa for indoor stuff. So I used to learn how to do all that shit way back when we were doing cannabis.
That's a good business to get into now.
Yeah, kind of. Yes and no. You know, I tell people, I think the time to get in it was when I was in it, but when everybody was scared as fuck to get
in. It's nice. Now, like, saturated, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's, you know, everybody wants to do it because it's not as scary. When we did it, it was really scary to do it. Like, it was, you know, when we went down to get our business license, I remember they didn't even have anything under marijuana. I had to be, like, this herbal supplement, like, shop is what we had to get it under, and so just the laws, regulations, they were so uncertain. It's different from city to city and state to state. So there's no consistency in it. There still isn't a lot of consistency. They're trying to drill that down. And all that's really happened since I've been out of it is more hands are in the pot and more regulation, which is just making it that much more difficult for people to actually do it legitimately and make money. And I got tired of I didn't like where the industry was. It wasn't my passion, you know. I saw where it was going, and the business side of me saw that, and like, okay, and I had a great opportunity. But I love fitness. I'm so much more passionate about that. You know, this is what I love to do. But that was a little ride. Learned a lot.
You guys could do like a little. You guys could do a blend, like a
CBD.
Yeah,
coffee.
Throw in some cannabinoids.
We get a lot of offers from that.
I knew it. I knew
I'm sure you
did. We've gotten some companies reaching out.
Can I just tell you right now, your coffee does pair well with certain strains. Not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
Some of our programs may have been created under the influence of that combination.
I may or may not.
I had a guy send over a concentrate with THC infused, and it's hardcore.
Dude, we get some interesting emails. We had this one dude shoot us an email saying if we knew anything about doing coffee enemas. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah,
sounds like a Mind Pump listener.
The nootropics will shoot right into your system. I'm like, no, but you can go ahead and try it. Fucking stick coffee in your ass. Let me know how that works.
It's all the craze.
They call it Chimera Culo. Good deal. Well, I'll tell you what, man. One of the main reasons why we like working with you guys is because we like you guys. That's the biggest reason why we support you guys so much and why we like working with your brand. You got a good product for sure. But it's you guys that we like the most, and so we appreciate it. Thanks for coming down, man.
Yeah. We love you, dude.
It's good having you guys here.
Thanks again. Listen, cool. Thanks, Mind Pump is still offering 30 days of coaching, and it's still free. All you got to do is go to mindpumpmedia.com and register for 30 days of coaching. Also, if you go to YouTube, you can watch Mind Pump TV. We post a new video every single day, so don't forget to subscribe. Lastly, you can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Media. You can find my page at Mind Pump Sal, Adam's at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin is at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.